Farm Talk on CFRU 93.3 FM. Welcome to another edition of Food Farm Talk, where we celebrate food and honor those who champion the cause of food in society. Another Thursday morning, so welcome to Food Farm Talk on CFRU 93.3 FM. I am your regular host, Abdulrahim Abdullahi, and today I am here with a guest who is here to tell you some very interesting stuff. Have you ever wondered what technology actually means to the farming industry? Every day we use our mobile phones, and we see how these technologies actually change our lives. So when you sit down, do you ever wonder how this can actually impact farmers and how farmers can use technologies, especially digital technologies, in their activities? This is a question that has always been in my mind and I keep wondering. Fortunately for me, I have with me today somebody who has worked on what is called precision agriculture in rural Ontario. So by talking to farmers, the person has learned a lot about precision farming in Canada. So let me use this as an opportunity to introduce my guest, who is not, she's actually not new on this show because she has been on this show for a couple of times already, which is Emily Duncan, but I'll give her the opportunity to introduce herself again.
Hi, thanks, Abdul. Happy to be here is the role of the guest instead of the interviewer. Super excited today to talk about some of the results of my master's research, which really focused on the adoption of precision agriculture and how it's impacting social relations in farming, particularly in Ontario.
Yes. As you said, I'm also really excited because there are so many questions I'm hoping that by the end of this interview, you will answer, because I've been pondering over those questions. But first of all, can you tell us a little bit about this research? When did you finish your master's and where did you do your master's? And technically, let me even say, just touch a little bit on what actually motivated you into the master's.
Yeah, so I finished my master's. I defended my thesis and submitted it last summer in June 2018. And then in the fall, I started my PhD here at the University of Guelph. And so both projects have been supervised by Dr. Evan Fraser in the Department of Geography, which is interesting because maybe geography isn't the first department that you think of when you're thinking about technology and agriculture, but it was actually a really good avenue for me to explore these research questions of looking at how precision agriculture is being adopted and kind of what are some of the social consequences on the agricultural industry. And so that's kind of the gist of my master's. It was a two-year project that on the first year I mostly took courses and then did the summer of fieldwork and then spent the next year kind of writing up the results, which I'm super excited to share today. But you asked about the inspiration, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So what really inspired me to do this project is the year before I started my master's, I was actually doing a lot of traveling and soul searching of, you know, what kind of career did I want to work in? And I was working on a farm in Australia. And this was a huge, huge grain farm, 3,000 hectares. And I was helping out during harvest. I was driving the tractors, driving the combine. And on this farm, they used so much technology. You know, the tractors would drive themselves. They had auto steer. We were collecting loads of data during the harvest that the farmer would then use to kind of decide what management techniques to use the following year. And I was so interested in this and the use of these technologies. So it kind of led me to think about, you know, when I get back home to Ontario, you know, what are the technologies that we're using here and what can we learn about them?
Okay. This sounds very interesting, and your research broadly looks at precision agriculture. So let me pull you back a little bit to kind of let our listeners actually understand what precision agriculture is. So in very simple words, in a few sentences, can you describe what precision agriculture is?
Yeah, so precision agriculture, it's often defined as using a set of tools, tools such as robotics, sensors, smart tractors. So using these tools to more site-specifically manage your farm. So in the past, kind of farmers would make a management decision like spray this field at this rate and the whole field would be treated the same. But we know that within one big field, there's lots of parts that are very different. So precision agriculture allows farmers to be more precise and treat certain parts of their field or certain animals in their herd a little bit differently.
Good. So looking at it, as you mentioned, you got an experience of precision agriculture in Australia and you decided to apply it back in Ontario. And definitely when you have these things in mind, you are always wondering, how do I go about it? So can you tell us a little bit about your research? Who did you speak to? So like, which category of farmers did you speak to? Where are these farmers located? Like, just a brief background about your study subjects and like your location or the location of your study.
Yeah, so being based at the University in Guelph, I wanted to look at, you know, the adoption of precision agriculture in Ontario, because we know that Ontario is one of Canada's most productive provinces. You know, we're leaders in the dairy industry and in the crop industry. So this is kind of the two areas that I focused on. And these industries, dairy and crops, are also the ones that are using some of the latest and greatest technologies. So in focusing on these sectors, I then tried to focus in on where in Ontario and who I would talk to. And in order to do that, I actually used some of the data from the 2016 Census of Agriculture. So the census gets mailed out to farmers all across the country, and they answer quite a few questions about their farming practices. And this provides the government a lot of data about what's going on our farms. And lucky for me in my project, in 2016, they added a new question, and that question was, what technology are you using on your farm? And so based on that, I was able to learn a little bit more about where in Ontario is the kind of the greatest adoption of technologies like robotic milkers, and also, you know, crop technologies like GPS, geographic information systems mapping, GIS, and also auto steer, which helps farmers in guidance of their tractors.
Okay. So you were able to talk with farmers from the dairy and from crop sectors in Ontario. This sounds very interesting. And I'm eager to really know what you found out from your study. So by talking to farmers and trying to understand what type of technologies they use and how these technologies are influencing their practices and their relationship with other actors in the agri-food industry, you were able to come out with some very interesting findings. Can you tell our listeners today what were your key findings from the study?
Sure. And I should also add that it wasn't just farmers that I talked to. I also wanted to talk to the people selling these technologies. So I talked to agricultural technology retailers as well as the farmers to understand a little bit more about kind of the relationship between these two groups. And so the findings were super interesting. In kind of analyzing the census, I had a good idea of who was adopting and where. So we know that almost 9% of dairy farmers in Ontario are using robotic milkers.
Okay, just to jump in.
Yeah.
To like give listeners a very clear cut, like highlights of what you found. First of all, like, how is precision agriculture being adopted? So what type of technologies, by who did you find?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's being adopted. The adoption rates are increasing. And so we're seeing that almost a third of farmers are using GPS technologies and 16% are using auto steer. And so that's kind of just based on the census, but then also understanding a little bit more about who is adopting them. We know that older farmers are less likely to adopt these technologies. Larger farms are more likely to adopt them. So we're seeing that as your farm is growing bigger and bigger, it's easier to manage the more technologies that you're adopted. And then farmers that are already invested in more capital intensive and more expensive machinery are also more likely to adopt these technologies. And so that's kind of just a bit of a general overview of the types of farms and the rates of adoption. But that doesn't really tell us what's happening on the farm.
Yeah, so just to dig deep again, what are some of the influencing factors you found? You've mentioned some of them already. Older farmers are less likely to adopt. So if the farmer is old, the farmer is less likely to adopt technology. And you've also mentioned about farm sizes. As the size increase, they are likely to. Are there other factors that you actually found that are actually influencing the adoption of digital and precision agriculture technologies in Ontario?
Yeah, so diving a bit deeper than just that census data, when I actually talked to farmers and talked to the people selling these technologies, there were lots of other factors that came into play. And one was that farmers are really trying to increase their profitability. They realize that land prices in Ontario are increasing, so rather than expand their acreage, they're having to really make the most out of every piece of land they have and, you know, increase their profitability that way. Another influencing factor is kind of the work environment of farming. We all know that farming, it's a tough job out there. And adopting some of these technologies make it a bit easier. You know, if you have to sit in a combine all day, you know, if you have to focus on steering straight and paying attention to that, it can be challenging. But with automatic steering, then you can start to pay attention to some of the other things that are going on in the field. The same with robotic milking, that milking cows is hard and letting a robot do it is a bit easier. And a lot of dairy farmers also talked about the influence of labor, that it's hard to get people for hiring in rural areas to wake up early in the morning, come out to the farm, milk cows for a couple hours, leave, then come back in the evening again, milk more cows, leave. So by having the robot there all the time, available to milk cows whenever they feel like it, it's definitely saving them on labor costs and creating a better work environment for farmers and farm laborers.
That sounds really interesting and, in fact, very informing to me. And because you just mentioned the fact that it becomes difficult for farmers to get labor in rural areas and land prices are increasing, that means there's so many other like social dimensions that are coming out of this increasing use of precision agriculture. So I just want to understand, through your research, how did you see like precision agriculture actually influencing social relationships in rural communities?
Yeah, so that was really interesting, of trying to understand the relationship between farmers and then other actors in the food system. And so what I found was that, so all these technologies are gathering lots of data. And that's the key part of precision agriculture that allows farmers to make better management decisions, is that information. But what farmers are struggling with is actually turning the data into information they can use. So these machines, these technologies are just gathering massive amounts of numbers and figures and statistics. But how can they decipher that into what they should do with their practices? And so both farmers and retailers alike said that this data is really being underutilized. It's kind of sitting on computers, and in turn, this is giving rise to a new line of services in agriculture, of these kind of new data management services. And different actors are starting to participate in this. One is technology retailers themselves. So the people who are selling robotic milkers are also helping farmers interpret that data. The people who are starting to sell tractors and the hardware and the machines are also starting to get into that line of data management services.
Yeah, so in as much as some social relations are being killed in the process, it's also establishing some kind of new social relations by creating new opportunities, new economic opportunities through data management and other stuff that new technology retailers are actually helping farmers. This really is, like, sounds interesting, and I'm really curious to know how like the general farming community is taking this and how they are actually integrating themselves into what I would call like a new form of social order that is coming with the precision agriculture technologies. So just to get back to you on how this might be actually affect the farming community in general. I'll take a short break to remind listeners that they're still listening to Food Farm Talk on CFRU with Abdulrahim Abdullahi. And today I'm having a very interesting discussion with Emily Duncan from the Department of Geography, Environment and Geomatics, who did her master's on precision agriculture in Ontario. And she found some very interesting changes that are happening in the agriculture industry that she actually wants to share with the general public and the farming community, who stands to benefit so much from some of these changes as well. So getting back to our normal conversation, why does this actually matter to the farming community?
I think this matters a lot because there's a lot of changes that are happening with, you know, different pressures that farmers are facing, that adopting technology is one way to respond to these pressures of trying to increase profitability, trying to make the most out of every dollar that you have, trying to increase production. And farmers here in Ontario, they're the ones that are producing food for our community and the world. So they're trying to figure out what is the best way to do that sustainably and profitably. And technologies are one way to do that. But we also need to be cautious and think that we're also really at the beginning of this phase of adoption, that we're moving into it, but there's still some challenges.
You just mentioned that this definitely has some implication because farmers are those who produce our food, and we are also concerned about how our food is produced and who produces the food and some of the impacts on the environment that the processes of producing this food actually has. So just to broaden our discussion, like, what does this issue of precision agriculture mean to the general public?
Well, I think that some of the data that's associated with our food production, this data that's being collected by precision agricultural technologies, is important that the public really wants more information about how their food produced, where it came from, what were some of the sustainability techniques involved. And the data that's associated with precision agriculture can help to answer some of those questions. So even some of the farmers that I interviewed, they were telling me that, you know, when they sell their products to processors are also interested in having that data move along the supply chain with their products, so that as a processor, they could make some kind of sustainability claim of, you know, this product was produced with less water, less fertilization. And so I think that's important for farmers to start to consider of, you know, that the public is hungry for information about how their food's being produced, and maybe adopting some of these tools is a way to answer some of those questions.
It's really interesting, as I mentioned earlier, because when you think about it from the perspective of the public, you realize that people are becoming more conscious of our food and trying to understand the impact of what we eat. So that means definitely through these technologies, we are moving, inching closer to actually having the information and being able to back up what we actually eat by claims of sustainability. It looks very impressive. So we are still on time, so we still have a few more questions we can try to wrangle around with. So I'm just trying to understand, you did this research for almost like closer to 2 years, and definitely you might have encountered some challenges dealing with farmers. I've dealt with farmers already in some capacities back in Ghana and in Newfoundland, so I know what it takes to do research with farmers and farming communities. So what were some of the challenges you faced in, like, your research?
So I think the main challenge was finding the right farmers to talk to about this, because, you know, there's loads of farms out there, and I think farmers are excited to share more information about their business and what they're doing. But I really specifically wanted to talk to farmers who had already adopted these technologies and been using them for a while. So it was a little bit hard to find the right participants and kind of get to that number. Overall, I talked to 13 different farmers and 20 different technology retailers. So it was easy to find people who are selling these technologies through websites and things like that, but then actually finding the farmers who are kind of very well-versed in using data, that was definitely a challenge for me as a researcher of, you know, how can I reach out to this community of farmers who are adopting technologies?
Sounds good. I'm sure you, because of this experience of trying to narrow down to a specific group of farmers, you definitely would have had some very exciting experiences through your research process. So I don't know if you actually want to share with listeners, what was the most exciting thing you came across?
I'd say some of my most exciting experiences were actually going out to the farm and visiting with farmers. I did a lot of conversations and interviews with farmers over the phone because I was trying to interview people during the start of harvest season. So a lot of people were really busy. So sometimes we've had phone conversations when, you know, they were in their harvester and I was on speakerphone and that was fine. But if I could get out to the farm, those were some of my best experiences. And I can think of one farm in particular. I went out to a dairy farm. And as soon as I got out of the car, I noticed that there were a lot of cats hanging around. You know, cats love milk. What better place to be than a dairy farm? And so the farmer and I, we stood outside and we were talking about precision agriculture. And the whole time, there's all these kind of cats circling around us and meowing in the background. And part of the process for my research is I record all my interviews and then I type them up later for analysis. And then I remember being back in the office listening to this recording and, you know, the farmer and I are talking and then all I can hear is little meows in the background. And yeah, it was pretty funny. But overall, the best experiences were getting to know some of these farmers and understanding more about their businesses. A lot of the farmers that I talked to were fourth or fifth generation farmers in Ontario, and they were really proud of their business, and they were really open and willing to share with me their experiences, their you know, things that they were proud of that they'd achieved on their farms by using technologies, but also, you know, some of the challenges that they'd faced in using these technologies. And this whole research process just reaffirmed of why I love working with agriculture. It's the people who really make that industry what it is, so welcoming and so engaged in trying to further advance our knowledge about this.
Yeah, my experience also confirms most of these things. Farmers are one of the most amazing group of people to work with because they are always, in most instances, open to sharing their stories, and most of them do have a lot of stories to tell you. So you've had a lot of experience like talking to farmers in Ontario, talking about your research and trying to kind of inform the public and trying to inform the farm community in ways that we can effectively adopt precision agriculture technologies. These are very good initiatives that are being taken. And farmers are really excited to have their voice heard and have their information sent out to the general public to really appreciate the work they are doing. So I'm just wondering what your next steps will be after talking to farmers and finishing your master's and having a lot of stories to tell us and educating the general public. What are the next steps?
Yeah, so the next steps are, you know, trying to share a little bit more of these results that I found in doing this process, published in some academic journals, which are mostly read by, you know, scientists, but also trying to get the information out there in different ways. Last fall, I had an article published in Ontario Grain Farmers magazine that started to talk about some of these results. So the next steps are sharing the results in different ways. So thanks again for having me on the show and letting me share my results through radio.
Yeah, I'm sure your participants will be very excited to have this. They can actually hear this while they are in the combines or like tractors driving.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's great to listen to. And then next steps for me is I'm doing my PhD. So it's to continue this line of research because, you know, what came up for me is that when you try to answer one question, you actually find that there's much more to be researched. And so I think my future research will kind of shift away from looking at kind of the tools and technologies of precision agriculture and dive a little bit deeper into that data management aspect of it. So one of the challenges that kind of were raised through this research process was that issue of data ownership, data management, data sharing, and security. And so I hope that my PhD research will help advance our knowledge about what are some of the systems that we need to put in place in agriculture to ensure that this data is used to help agriculture and increase profitability and sustainability for farmers particularly. So I think those are some of the next steps. And then also kind of on the education side, that was a big piece of my research, is that finding out that farmers need more education, training, capacity building, and how to use this data from both the private sector and the public sector. So I'm really interested in being involved in any kind of initiative moving forward that is increasing training and capacity building for using precision agriculture tools and for data management in agriculture.
There's just a lot for me to digest. And I actually wish we had like a whole day to ourselves that we can actually talk about precision agriculture, because it is something that has always been of interest to me. And I'm really happy that you've come in today to share with us some of your research and your results. And I'm hoping that in the future I can get you back to tell us about your next steps, how exactly your next steps has unfolded. So thank you very much for coming in. And again, this is not your first time.
Well, so thank you for having me on.
You are better becoming a regular a regular guest on the show, and definitely certain times you do host the show as well. So I've been talking to Emily Duncan, who has done some very wonderful research in Ontario looking at precision agriculture. So today our discussion has been around what kind of precision agriculture technologies are being adopted in Ontario, and some of the ones that are very prominent has been auto steering and robotics in milk in the dairy industry. These are things that farmers are beginning to use in various capacities. And this is driven by some of the pressures that are coming from mostly the external environment. Consumers are becoming more conscious and they are demanding to know how their food is produced. And as well, retailers that are selling food are demanding some kind of information in order to justify the sustainability of their work. There's just so much we can talk about in terms of this. And as consumers out there who are also listening to this program, I'm sure you've learned some great things today. And possibly as you go to your grocery store to buy food, you look out to see if the information that is provided, maybe some of them was taken through precision agriculture directly on the farm. So thank you very much for listening, and I hope to see you again next week. This is still Food Farm Talk with Abdulrahim Abdullahi on CFRU 93.3 FM. Have a great day. Thank you.